Europe's car industry appeals to President Biden. Don't hurt your friends. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for joining us. It's a curious case, a piece of US legislation aimed at reducing inflation in America and boosting green jobs has large chunks of European industry up in arms. President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, though, is seen by some sectors as a potential serious threat. In particular, there are concerns around some of the Act's tax breaks, levies and rules about where materials are produced. Automakers are particularly worried that breaks for US electric-made vehicles could make their cars appear far more expensive. The European Automobile Manufacturers Association, or the ACEA, represents many of the continent's giants, including BMW, Mercedes, VW and Volvo, and they want US officials to look again at the legislation. Jonathan O'Riordan is the ACEA's head of trade policy.
For electrified vehicles, there is a purchase credit of up to $7,500, but there are specific requirements that will preclude European exports from claiming those credits. Most obviously, there is an eligibility criteria that limits the credit to vehicles that are assembled in North America only. And there are also requirements related to minimum local content, so that's a US or North American content in terms of raw materials and battery parts and components. So what we see the US legislation is being is effectively discriminatory because it excludes European exports from its coverage. That, I think, is going to make European-made vehicles less competitive. I mean, $7,500 is substantial. And if your US-based competitors can claim that, then there's going to be a significant competitive disadvantage. As a piece of legislation, it says that it's focused on the environment, but we really think it's focused on US jobs and on the issue of competition with China. We're just the collateral damage in that.
So what are you asking of, I guess, political leaders across the European Union in terms of being the people who are going to negotiate with the White House? What are you telling them that you need as an industry?
I think we'd like to see an exemption, obviously, for European exports. There's limits on content coming from certain third countries, including China. And given the role of China in the battery supply chain now, it's very hard to eliminate that content completely, even if we understand that that is one of the fundamental objectives of the legislation. And then lastly, the local content requirements. In terms of batteries.
There has been talk in some political circles in Europe, Jonathan, as I'm sure you're aware, of responding in some way, sort of tit for tat, I guess, responses. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this piece of legislation creates some real challenges to the green transition in Europe, specifically related to the battery supply chain. How it responds is going to be extremely difficult. It's complicated, obviously, by the state aid rules within the single market, and it raises pretty fundamental questions about how is it possible for Europe to ensure that we, you know, are able to establish a vertically integrated battery supply chain in Europe and are able to keep it here in the face of very, very stiff competition. So I don't think we are in a position to advocate exactly how it responds in that regard. I think what would be very important for us, we don't believe that this should be able to escalate to the level where we have you mentioned the word tit for tat, right? We don't think this should escalate into a trade conflict. I don't think there's the appetite for it. We hope that the US has understood that it should really try and avoid this collateral damage to its allies.
Jonathan Reardon from the European Automobile Manufacturers Association, thanks very much for your time.
Super. Thanks so much.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers now. Where in London, the FTSE 100 has extended gains for a third straight session, driven on ahead of Christmas by consumer stocks like the fashion store JD Sports. It's up right now, just over 0.5%. Well, staying in the UK, the country's winter of strikes we've been telling you about stepped up a gear today as ambulance staff headed to the picket line. Health officials in the country are warning patient safety cannot be guaranteed as thousands of frontline workers and call handlers in England and Wales go on strike over pay. Unions say crews will respond to life-threatening emergencies, but some urgent calls might not be answered. This health worker in the city of Coventry says staff are exhausted.
It's not a strike against the ambulance service, our manager, and it's the government that we need to listen to us, really. Morale generally is very low. We've worked really hard through COVID. We're understaffed. We're always late off. We just need things to change for the better.
But the government says the strikes are irresponsible. Here's the UK Health Secretary, Stephen Barclay.
This is a point when the system is already facing very significant pressure. That's the point at which the trade unions have chosen to take industrial action. And in doing so, they haven't been willing to work with us to agree national exemptions in terms of covering all of the life-threatening and emergency calls.
The BBC's health correspondent Jim Reid has more.
Unions say this strike is about pay, but also working conditions and patient safety. Paramedics and other staff have not put a figure on their pay demand, only saying it needs to make up for lost earnings caused by high inflation. In a letter to the Prime Minister, NHS leaders warned they could not guarantee patient safety. Ministers have cautioned the public to avoid risky activity, such as contact sports. Unions have agreed that they will respond to the most serious life-threatening call-outs and that staff can be called back from the picket line to attend emergencies under certain circumstances.
That's the BBC's Jim Reid. The Australian Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, is in Beijing for talks with her Chinese counterpart, Wang Yi, following several years of diplomatic tension. Beijing imposed trade sanctions on Australian products after Canberra called for an investigation into the origins of COVID-19. The BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney has more.
I think what Australia is after is an open, honest, yet robust relationship with China. You have to remember that Australia's natural resources, most notably iron ore, have helped China to expand. And China's appetite for Australia's natural resources has underpinned this country's recent prosperity. So quite clearly, it is a relationship very important for both sides.
Phil Mercer in Sydney there. And finally, a very strange missing notice for you. The European Space Agency says its Vega C rocket has been lost shortly after liftoff. It's its first commercial mission. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.